Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261 EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
Paul said to the soldiers and to the officers, unless these sailors stay on the ship, you have no hope of staying alive. Paul said to the soldiers and to the officers, unless these sailors stay on the ship, you have no hope of staying alive. If you're not too mean, push three people like you want them to fall and tell them, stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. Acts, the 27th chapter, verse 31, the God's Word version. You may be seated. It was Winston Churchill who said, and I quote, if you're going through hell, keep going, unquote. How apropos is that for this text this weekend? I said last week that this text, and I agree that this text also is so pregnant with preaching and pedagogical possibility, because in it, the talented tent maker from Tarsus teases out some construct on how to handle a storm. I love you. I know you trust me, but I want you to read your Bible for yourself. And right now, just trust me to give you the context so you can really handle the text. But here's the context. In Acts 26, it's your homework assignment. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Let's even go further back. Here's what's going on. It's the first century. Christianity is in its infancy. Most people think it's a cult. It has come out of Orthodox traditional Judaism. Here's Paul, the progenitor of a new type of apostolic teaching, saying, I know you know about the Father, but now God the Son has come. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved than the name of Jesus. They think this is absolutely crazy. They think he's a heretic. This cannot be true. Who is this son he's talking about? So Paul keeps standing before people having to tell his story. They keep standing him before people who want to stone him and kill him, and governors and officials. And what I like about Paul, every time they set him up, he tells the same story. I was on the road to Damascus, and a light shined from heaven, knocked me down, and changed my life. They whooped him, put him in prison, let him out, stood him up before another governor. He said, I was on the road to Damascus, and a man named Jesus knocked me down, shined the light, blinded me for 3 days. Don't feel sorry for me. I saw more in 3 days with my eyes closed than I had ever seen with my eyes open. Now, finally, they stand him up before Agrippa. And what does he say in front of King Agrippa in Acts 26? King, I was on a road to Damascus, and a man named Jesus. How come he keeps telling the same story? Lean on somebody and say, it's my story. I'm sticking to it. Go ahead. I wish I had 10 people here that know your story has not changed. I was a silly little woman who was attracted to dumb men, but God got a hold of me. I was in prison. I was locked up. I had a degree, but no integrity, and God got a hold of me. When I was 9 years old, I walked down to church on Easter Sunday, gave the pastor my hand and God my heart. He changed my life. I've never been the same since. The blood of Jesus changed my life. I got saved in 1933. I was a little girl. 1971, 1989, I joined at the Maple Church. I joined at Kennedy. I was a trip. I was partying, I was clubbing, but I had no sense of peace. Your story should not change. Paul said, King Agrippa, I was on a road to Damascus, and a man named Jesus got a hold of my life. Here's one of the best scriptures in the Bible. King Agrippa looked at Paul and said, Paul, you almost made me a Christian. He said, your story is so convincing. Here's what it literally means. I was close to getting saved. But here's what I'm going to do. I don't really see any reason to kill you, and I really like you personally. I think you're a pretty cool dude, but all these guys don't like you. So I hear you have an appointment with Caesar in Italy, so I'm going to get the blood off my hands. and go ahead and send you to Caesar. Sound like anybody else? They kept moving around because they didn't know what to do with. Remember, they took my Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas to Herod, and Herod to Pilate. But lean on somebody and say, you can't wash the blood off your hands. Go ahead. No, you're going to have to deal with how you treat Jesus. And can I suggest to you, they say, you know what, let's go ahead and put him on a boat with the other prisoners toward Italy. So they put Paul on a boat. This is Acts 26. It's your homework. I'm sneaking into the circumference of our text today. Stay with me. This part is critical. They put Paul on a boat, and Paul says, now, gentlemen, I know I'm a prisoner. I don't have much voice. I'm nobody. I'm a prisoner. But the Lord told me to tell y'all, it's going to be a storm. So we don't need to leave right now. Oh, shut up, man. You crazy. You're our prisoner. You just get down there in the barracks and do what we say. Okay, I just dropped the mail off. I'm the mailman. I'm rolling out. It's up here. Sure enough, here comes the storm. They decided, well, let's leave anyway. They didn't want to winter there. They said, you know what? Let's winter in Phoenix. Lean on somebody. Say, not Phoenix, Arizona. Go ahead. Because biblical geography, Phoenix, all right, off Crete, C-R-E-T-E, Crete, off the coast of Crete, place called Phoenix, not Arizona. Pookie, like, I'm about to call my cousin, say Paul there. He don't know Paul was in Phoenix. Yeah, no, not Phoenix, Arizona. And so here's what happens. Paul says, now, if I was you, I would not leave right now. Let's fast forward, because the opening verse 21, says this, and it's amazing. The Bible says, after they took off, everybody, look at the first verse, because they never should have left. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul said, man, you should have listened to me in the first place. They hadn't eaten for a long time. Paul said, y'all should have listened to me in the first place. Y'all should have listened to me in the first place. You would have avoided all this change, but there's no need to dwell on that now. This is so good. Paul said what every parent here has said to your child after you told them what they should do. Now, I told you not to do it in the first place. Now, you ever told yourself, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I told you so, praise God. And something in your heart, all of us have done that. When you told somebody you loved not to do something or somebody you cared about, and finally it happened just the way you knew it would happen, and you told the person, I told you not to do that. But I love the next verse because, or the same verse, put that same verse back up because he says something so powerful. He says, but there's no need to dwell on that now. And that part blessed me, and I thought I'd come to preach because many of us, starting with me, have a tendency to dwell on stuff too long. If the Lord told me anything in 2018, my wife always pushed me and said, baby, you said it enough now. You know, there's something about being a father and an entrepreneur and a pastor. There are all these people that answer to you. You got to have some accountability. You're paying people the church's resources, so you got to keep them accountable. You got your children busting moves. You got all these people you're training busting moves. You're warning them, telling them what not to do. Then they do everything you told them not to do. You got to go back to them. And my wife told me, just tell them and leave it alone. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. Because aren't you glad that God didn't dwell on your past? And maybe this is the year for people in this ministry to realize, say what you got to say and leave it alone. Even grace parenting, where you say something, particularly to grown kids, and say, now I raised you already, I'm just going to drop the mail off and roll out. You do what the Lord leads you to do. I'm praying for you. I'm not going to dwell on it. Nobody wants to hang with somebody that keeps reminding them of what they should have done. So, Lord, give all of us the grace to let people. Isn't it amazing that Mansfield will let you out of prison? But when people lock you up in the prisons of their mind, they give you a license. I'm preaching to somebody already. Paul said, I told you not to go. Put that scripture back up because it's so powerful. He says, but let's not dwell on it. There's no need for now. Things are looking up, and I can assure you there will not be a single person drowning among us. Now look at the next verse because it's going to bless you real good. For last night, an angel came to me and said, you will not die because you have an appointment with Caesar. Now, okay, y'all just looking like angels be coming to see y'all every night. Don't y'all miss what he said? He said, an angel came to me. He said, the reason why I'm telling y'all not to panic is because last night I had a visitation. Now, y'all missed y'all second shot, but this year, in 2018, I'm believing God for some visitations. Now, I want to talk to some millennials and some 20-year-olds and some 30-year-olds that want God to speak to you with clarity. The next person you date, you want to hear straight from God. Not a maybe, no ambiguity. The next job I get, the next car I buy, I need a visitation to give me some revelation so that there is no devastation. Preach right now. Is there anybody here that's believing God in 2018? Paul said, I want you to know You never should have left. I told y'all not to go in the first place, but I ain't going to throw that in your face. But now that we're here, I'm not going to dwell on it. Oh, plus, I want you to understand, it's going to be all right. Even though there's going to be a storm because you shouldn't have left because I told you not to leave, God told me to tell you, don't worry, since I have to stand in front of Caesar and y'all with me. Okay, y'all just missed your shot. I can't die until I finish my appointment. You know what I started to preach? Push the person in front of you and say, I know I'm going to die, but I can't die right now. Go ahead. Oh, that's the wrong person. There's somebody here that knows there's too much you still got to get done. There's a grandchild you got to see get grown. You got to finish your degree. You got to make love to your husband after you meet him. There's some stuff God has promised you, and it has not come to fruition yet. Is there anybody that's been through some stuff, but put somebody and say, I can't die right now. Go ahead. There's too much in me to do. There is too much for me to get done, and I cannot die right now. Why? Because purpose preserves me, and purpose pushes me. The reason why I want everybody 70, 80 years old, 60, keep some purpose in front of you so you won't die. Maybe you'll be dead. There are some people die because they lost a sense of purpose. Their husband died, they just went on ahead and died right behind them. They had no purpose. You got to get something in front of you to preserve you. Purpose pushes you and preserves you. I get the same question every place I go. How do you do all that? How do you have all those campuses? How do you do a book tour and be married and raise your kids and travel and preach all those services because purpose is on me? The books keep flying off the shelf. Pastor, don't you got to do all that traveling? Talk to somebody and say, I get to do all that traveling. Go ahead. The devil is a lie. I'm watching my children walk in purpose. I'm watching this church go to another level. There's something on your life, and the devil doesn't want you to have vision of purpose. He wants you to trip on what you don't have, but get a vision in front of you, because your purpose will give you energy. And my wife's still cute. I feel like preaching here. Is there anybody that believes this is the year for you to walk in purpose, because this is the year you go to the next level? Stand up and sit back down and how I feel that. But look at the B clause of verse 24, everybody. It's going to bless you, because notice what it says. What's more, in God's goodness, he's granted safety to everyone with me. Okay, if y'all knew what I was, that's cool. Let me break it down. Somebody not paying attention. Wasn't the person on that boat a Christian? Except Paul. Wasn't the person on that boat living right? Except Paul. Did nobody have a divine connection with divinity except Paul? But Paul said, because y'all with me. You ought to look at your spouse and say, you made a good decision. Go ahead, praise God. I don't know if you would have survived, but you married the right chick player. Praise God, because the favor that's on my life, here's a real question. Who are you connected to? Who are you connected to? Yeah. Not just vertically, but horizontally. Who are your friends? Keep one friend that's more spiritual than you. Keep one sister that can talk to God when you can't. Don't have a person who's nastier than you. Have friends that can help you when you're not right. Keep one person that's in your life for one reason. They're not your gossip partner. They're not your lab partner. They're the person you call when you're in such a bad place that you're about to cuss. And you call and say, now I can't feel God at all, but I know you can. So I called to tell you, would you please help me to get back to Jesus and pray for me? Because right now I'm caught up in this brother. I'm caught up on this stuff. I'm mad at some people. Unforgiveness is in me. But I like having you in my life because that connection preserves me. And what church you go to does matter. You're supposed to be here. There's a brother who joined this morning. I've been hugging him. He's been coming here for 6 years, every Sunday, giving during our offerings, participating, but never joined. He thought I was all right with that because he gave a few offerings. I said, brother, coming don't mean connection. You can stay with a woman 25 years. She's not your wife. You know what breaks my heart? When there's this sister that's been sleeping with a brother 25 years and giving to him unreservedly and feeding him and rubbing his head, but they never got married. You see, he had somebody else. She thought she was connected because they was kicking it. Get to the funeral, they don't even call her name. She did more for him than his wife, but the wife was connected, she wasn't. And so here she is, the one that did more for him than anybody in this world, and she's a footnote in the narrative of his life. Preach right now. She's not even a footnote. Why? Because coming don't mean connection. You need to walk down this aisle and say, what's on the head? What's on Aaron's beard flows down. It does matter where you go to church. It does matter who your friends are. It does matter who you're married to. Connection counts. Paul said, I don't care what nobody says. Some stuff on my life is because of who I sleep with. Yeah, some stuff on my life is because I married the right girl. She balances me. Where I'm wrong, she knows how to be right. Where I go too fast, she pulls me back. And whatever I'm going through, she's praying for me. I know for a fact there's something God has preserved me through because of my connection. Who are... I'm sorry. Look at me downtown. Elder Craig, he's there. Those watching online, stop playing with me. Did I tell y'all I was traveling? We're traveling right now to a different city each week, sometimes twice a week. And my wife told me, maximize this book. You only get a couple books. I wrote 5, 6 books. But you only get a couple that's going to take you all around the world. The relationship books, you just can't keep them on the shelf. They cannot keep this on the shelf. Thank y'all for y'all support. If you haven't gotten the Shameless Plug, the Ari Vernon 10 Rules of Dating, social media age. And one night, they took care of me enough to pay Ray's tuition for the rest of this year. In Jesus' name, in Baton Rouge, one night, God is just... moving on this book. And so I'm getting ready to step on the plane, and they call for us to board, and here comes AJ, my brother-in-law, Elder Jenkins, you know him. I call him AJ. AJ comes running to me with this frantic look on his face. I said, what's up, man? I'm scared. He's walking to me looking all crazy. I said, what's wrong? He's like, you got to call the office. I said, what's wrong? He said, next week in Houston, I'm not on your plane. I said, well, are you on any plane? He said, yeah, we leaving earlier than you. I said, well, that's a good thing. You'll be there before me. What you tripping on? He said, no. I like to be on the plane with you because I don't know what's up with me, but God ain't going to let you fall. I feel like having church. Would you slap somebody and say, you better get connected. Go ahead. I wish I had somebody that would have the right friends touch your neighbor and say, are you the one or should I wait for another? I need somebody on my road that can have a little talk with Jesus even when I can't get a breath through. Who are you connected to? You ought to have some elders in this church that you walk up to every Sunday. You ought to walk up to Sister Trina every week downtown, and Elder Craig. You ought to walk up to Elder Reno and Elder Stacy and Minister Maria and Minister Deontay and all these ministers and say, look, I'm tripping right now. Can you touch and agree with me this week? Pastor's line was too long, but I'm not looking for a superstar. I'm looking for somebody that can get in touch with Jesus. I want to touch anybody at the altar that knows the Lord and say, would you agree with me? Because my marriage is driving me crazy. Agree with me. I'm back on that pornography. Agree with me. You come to men's Monday and call your tribe leader and say, I'm a trip. But the problem is all my family a trip too. And every brother I kicked it with was a trip. And my daddy didn't teach me to be holy. He taught me to be careful. So I ain't got nobody in my family that thinks like y'all think. I need a church. I need somebody to be connected to that can help me.
Are y'all tired of me? Are y'all tired of me? Somebody say, preach to us, Pastor. Teach us something. Look at the next verse. It's so powerful, everybody. I want y'all to get a hold of this. Because so take courage, for I believe God. But. Look at that conjunction, but conjunction, junction, what's your function? 40 and over. There's a conjunction that I'll touch later, but notice what he says, take courage, Ephemio, in the Greek. You don't speak Greek, you speak English, so what difference does it matter? It makes a difference because Ephemio means to make the heart happy. Take courage, to feel inspired. Take courage. To feel an unction that I can make it. Take courage. Paul said, the ship is a trip. But take courage, for I believe God that if he told me we're going to make it to Italy, we will survive in spite of this calamity. I feel like preaching in my own church. Can I suggest to all of you, take courage. Words of inspiration. One of the things I've made a dedication to do is change everything in my life, and that is
to speak a female over every person that connects to me. Last night, I could hardly sleep, and she may be watching now, but walked up to me last night at the Saturday service. I'm dealing with all of these children, Pastor, and it's not their fault, it's mine. You name it, I did it wrong, and my babies are paying for my stuff, and my oldest got to help me with my other ones, and it's not her fault. It's not her fault, but without her, I fall. So she got to help me get them off the bus and help get them dressed. She's a baby herself, having to help me with my babies, and I'm wrong. I want to quit my job and be home with my babies, but if I quit, then who gonna provide? And I ain't blaming nobody. I did it, but I'm so down. I feel like it's a mess. Her birthday coming up, I can't even bless her. And she helped me with the babies, do all this stuff, and I can't even bless her. I ain't got no money, and she shouldn't be doing this. She's a baby herself, trying to help me with my babies because of the stuff I did. And the Holy Spirit told me, a female. Now, y'all just missed that. I said, let me speak life over you right now. I did something. I've been checking with my wife. I said, we got a little play area we built at the house that kids love. You bring them over for a party. I said, I don't normally do this with just any member and all that. I said, the Holy Spirit just told me we're going to get her a cake, and we're going to make this day happen. And I thought to myself, Ephemia, I said, come on. And Lady Vernon said, we can't do it that day. That's our niece's birthday. I said, I'm sorry. You can't come that day working out with Lady Vernon. I'm just talking. I don't know what I'm talking about. Whenever Lady Vernon said you could come, it's probably a better way for me to say it. Praise God. But I say all that to say, I thought about how her eyes lifted. I told the little girl, you're a wonderful woman. Let me tell you how cold you are. You're 12 years old. First baby you're going to have is going to be by your husband. Mama made some mistakes, but mama's strong. I know women with one baby and let them go. Your mama then kept all y'all and did her best. I said, here's what God just did for you. He let you catch all your hell at 12. This is the most hell you're going to catch in your life, because you're going to do some stuff the rest of your life. And when you're raising your little two babies, you're going to be like, this ain't nothing. I raised seven with my mama. God is going to preach. Ephemia, she started crying and laughing at the same time. And God told me, to speak life. One of my members I love walked up to me and don't mean no harm. Pastor, this is tall, handsome young brother. This is my autistic son, and he's just wild. And I said, no. This is your son who has autism. Don't use an adjective to describe him. I said, can I suggest to you, don't say that. I know. I said, come here, brother. I know he's wild and hugging me and all that about the enemy. I said, that's okay. Look at me. You're a beautiful young brother, and your mother loves you. And what's ever going on inside of you, you know that Christ loves you. And I said, don't ever refer to him as your autistic son. Express it to me. You tell him his name. Another young lady, a bunch of you, I'm just helping you, walks up to me with these little boys who are not doing what their mama saying. You're a young brother listen, and you don't do what your mama say, especially the way I'm feeling right now. And understand how fast mama can be going, I hit you in the head. But can I suggest to you, you single beautiful mothers walk up to me and say, Pastor, please get on him because he don't do right. I'm tired of getting on my nerves. His daddy not around, and plus he bad. He don't do what I say, and I'm just sick of it. I can't take it no more. I'm trying my best to work and feed him, and I'm sick of it. He just standing there. I said, no. First of all, you got something to do with this because you pick wrong. If you're not with his daddy, you at least pick wrong. So let's don't kill him. Come here, young brother. I said, brother, listen, this woman raising you with no help, I would kill to be in your position right now. I said, I want you to understand you're going to do whatever she said, but you a beautiful brother. You a king and a priest. Next time I see you, your grades going to get better, and come up to me and say, I did what my mama said. And when you get ready this week, when you get ready, have a private conversation with her and tell her how much you value her. Look at somebody, say, Ephemia, go ahead. I'm sorry, touch your neighbor and say, speak life over me. I know I'm a trip. I'm getting cussed out on my job, by my parents, by my family. I need to come to a church that can tell me I'm the head and not the tail. Let's go to have church and get out of here. Is there anybody that knows that God is the best thing that ever happened to you? And if God forgave you, then you should forgive others? I even want to recommend grace parenting. Speak life over your children. The one that's getting on your nerves the worst. I'm not telling you to condone their behavior. Sometimes they can't even stay with you because of what they're doing. That's okay. But speak life over. Is that good, everybody? Is that good? Next verse, and God bless y'all. This is so good, everybody. Because I want y'all to see how powerful this is. And not only this, but we exalt in tribulations. Why am I telling you this? Because Paul said, we're going to make it. But we're going to have a shipwreck. I got a word for you. All my hoopers can feel this. And I'm gone. God bless y'all. All my hoopers can feel this. Somebody holler, trust the process. trust the process. The Philadelphia 76ers got their center named Embiid. He's like 7'2", got mad game, post game, can block shots, good personality, can jovial, effervescent, really gonna turn Philly around. Got this tall guard like 6'10", got mad handle, can rebound. But they've been terrible for like 5 years. And they keep stocking draft picks, and they're terrible, don't even make the playoffs. And they keep telling their fans, trust the process. We almost losing on purpose because we're waiting on LeBron to retire. We know we ain't got a chance that he retire anyway. So in the meantime, we stocking up draft picks, but just trust the process. Pretty soon we gonna be good based on what we're enduring right now. God sent me to tell you, trust the process. What's the process is in Romans 5, and tribulations work with patience, and patience proven characters on the screen, and experience hope, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. James, the first chapter, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you go through diverse trials. Next screen, quickly. Why? Because knowing that the testing of your faith worketh endurance, and that endurance has its perfect worth, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You're going through this because God is working on you. You're going through this because he, you know what? Push somebody up and push and say, when I come out of this, go ahead and tell somebody. No, that's the wrong neighbor. Say, when I come out of this, if you think I'm shouting out, wait till God gets through with me. What is God doing? Proving your character, making you better. I got to stop. I got to go next verse and let's just have a little church. So here's what had happened. The sailors tried to get off the ship. The sailors tried to jump off the ship.
These are not novice fishermen. These ain't weekend players. These brothers fish for a living. They didn't see every kind of storm. Got to be a crazy storm that they thinking about letting down the lifeboat and getting off. They get ready to let down the lifeboat, and Paul said, twice I've been right. Let's try it again. I got a word for y'all. God said, as crazy as it sounds, anybody that try to get off the ship is not going to survive. But as rocky as it is, if you stay on the ship, because there's more safety in a rocky ship than the sunshine of sin, preach our aver, stay on the ship. And there are many of you that are not assigned to the word church, and I bless you as you leave. But others of you, you're assigned here. The word in my mouth keeps you alive. And because somebody offends you, you're not allowed to leave because there's safety in the ship. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. And there's so many people I've seen that were assigned to this house and left because of offense and walking around in a spiritual oblivion. Been to seven churches and can't find peace because they're assigned to this ship. There are many of you, the marriage represents the ship. It's rocky, but it's your assignment. Others of you, your job is the ship. And many of you will leave the big ship for a little boat. The little boat of adultery. Got a big marriage, just a trip right now, so you're settling for the little boat of a chick on the side. She's a little boat. She's a little boat. She's sexy, but she's a little boat. You left the big ship of integrity, the big ship of marriage, the big ship of God to get in the little boat of pornography when there's more in you. You're not some nasty six-year-old kid watching mess. You're a grown man with integrity in you, and God wants you to stay on the big boat of Christianity and integrity, and the devil wants you on the little boat. But the devil is a lie. Touch your lips. I ain't getting on no little boat. Go ahead. The little boat of not tithing, trusting in your own finances instead of leaning and depending on the everlasting arm of God. The Lord wants you to stay on this boat because there is safety in his will. What are you in that you want to quit but something is saying stay?
It's rocky, but God is saying stay. You're single with all this love to give, and something's telling you, stay. Stay. Anybody can hook up with somebody. You grown and cute. A man is no problem, but look how much peace you have right now. No, don't get nobody just to go half on the rent and make sure your son not gay. You can do bad all. Preach right now. Stay until God says move. Stay. What good is it if you leave Jesus who's on the ship?
Did I tell y'all I was traveling this week? Did I tell y'all I went to Baton Rouge? Did I tell y'all?
Oh, so what had happened is, we getting ready to board.
And they called, they said, first-class passengers, please board now. So I'm coming toward, there's a couple people in front of me, whole lot of people behind me, and I'm walking toward the door, just slowly and methodically, and I happen to take a cursory glance behind me. When I took that cursory glance, I noticed something that nobody else in line noticed. I noticed there was a wonderful, handsome white gentleman who had on a captain's uniform. So finally I decided, they may not like this. Now some of y'all are wondering why I did that. Because it hit me, what good is the plane? Oh, you just caught it. It don't matter who get on first. If we ain't got the captain, don't none of it matter. And can I suggest to somebody in this church, if God is not on the ship, if God is not in my life, if God be for me, he's more than the world. I need Jesus. And the captain walked past me and winked as if to say, you got it. He was willing to stand back there if nobody had enough sense to let him get on first. Behold, I stand at the door and knocked. If any man, the captain, I got to go, y'all. God bless y'all. Let's have a little church and go home because the final verse says, it's on the screen, y'all. Let's have church with dawn about to break. Let's have church with dawn about to break. Paul called everybody together and said, y'all ain't ate in 14 days. Some were seasick and others were too depressed to eat. Others just couldn't find a way to eat a meal. Paul said, no. Eat you something. Eat something now because you're going to need your strength because you're going to come out of this without even a scratch. If you ain't shouting by now, I've done the best I can. Would you push somebody next? You say, eat you something. Go ahead. You're going to need your strength. Go ahead. Eat this word today because you're coming out of this. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but 10 of y'all downtown, somebody in this crowded church ought to have a little church with me that knows God is bringing you out of this. It may be a little rough right now, but when God gets through with you, you are coming out of this without even a scratch. Can I get about 25 people that will have church with me and push your neighbor and say, stay on the ship. Go ahead. Tell them it may be a little rough right now, but stay on the ship. Tell them it may be dark right now, but stay on the ship. Is there anybody here? Life is rough right now. Would you touch your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, it may be dark right now, but I got a feeling that everything, it's going to be all right. Now, you can stand there and look at me, or you can go to praising God that it may be dark, but I got a feeling if you keep praising him, he'll make a way out of no way. Would you push two people right quick and tell them, stay on the ship. Can I get a witness? I said, can I get a witness? I got to close here, y'all. But I'm glad today that I serve a God who'll never leave me. No, he won't. Is there anybody here on a Sunday afternoon that can testify that he'll make a way out of no way? Yes, he will. Now you can sit there in your seat or jump up on your feet and shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand right quick. I said, shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand. Now shake them and rock them. Now rock them and shake them. I said, shake them and rock them. I said, rock him and shake him. Look him dead in the face. Say, neighbor, I know it's rough right now, but be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will, take care of you. There may be a storm in your life, but grandmama said, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Won't he make a way? If you're not too mean, preach to your neighbor. Say, stay on the ship. It may be rough, but stay on the ship. The ship may rock. but stay on the ship. Now turn around in your seat and shake the neighbor behind you. Say, I got a word for you. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling. I feel like preaching in my own church. I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Don't stand there and be stuck up. I need you to preach to your neighbor. Would you look at somebody, look them dead in the face, say, neighbor.
The song just simply says, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Bishop Brown wrote this song for me. Hallelujah.
Aren't you tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, paying extremely high interest rates on very small loans? Do you want to make more money? My name is Catrice Mason. I will help you remove any inaccurate, erroneous, and obsolete information from your credit file, including foreclosures, student loans, judgments, late payments, repossessions, bankruptcies, tax liens, charge-offs. It doesn't matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You can also build your credit by paying your rent on time. I'm also looking for like-minded entrepreneurs who are interested in earning additional income. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere. You will help people to reach their financial goals while reaching your own. Change your financial situation and leave a legacy for your family today. Catrice Mason, 318-730-8441. Again, that number is 318-730-8441. Your credit does matter. It is not an option. It is a priority.
Your Credit Matters is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM. KAYT KQJOFM.
Your number one music station.
These are the hits.
Come down. I love the praise, Jesus. Let me stop and do it right now. What's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of a Jesus freak who was ready for the worst. Pastor Lee knew he was being watched by the Chinese Public Security Bureau. He knew the risk of preaching at the house church, as he did every Tuesday. Pastor Lee had been arrested many times and beaten to the point where he vomited blood. Once he was beaten with his own Bible. He also knew Chinese citizens can be sent to labor camps for up to 3 years without a trial. So he was ready. He even had a bag packed with a blanket and extra clothing. Still, he preached that night without fear. Sure enough, armed officers burst through the doors and arrested him. Lee was ready. Are you?
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
Of the same in this place.